actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with people you just did battle with should never be taken away. But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the School of Hard Knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
Of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh yeah, Jeffy, it's Thursday night, and you know what? I'm actually going to say it's officially fall. And the date, so everyone knows, because we are live today, September 23rd, 2021, year of our Lord, Jeffy.
Year of our Lord.
We are live, excited to be back, excited to be talking to Jeffy here over the airwaves on the internet, which I'm excited about, Jeffy, because there's so much that's going on. We've been planning, we got so many fun shows planned, and boy, do we got a good one tonight, don't we?
We have a great one tonight. We have a great friend of the show. A good sister, if you will.
Hell yeah.
I super excited just to get back into it with her. Get back into it together. You, buddy. It's been I talk to you every day, but I missed doing the show, you know. We had a bunch of best ofs and it's been a nice breather, but it's great to be back at it.
Absolutely. It's fun to get back down here and do it. And tonight, of course, we got our friend Marty Duncan's gonna join us here in a little bit. Jeffy, Yeah, I've been thinking about this show all day today. I had a bunch of stuff I did for the NPR show, which if you haven't been following, you can catch us on WNPR.com. You can check it out, or we air live in about five states on your NPR station. But a lot of great interviews. My conversation with Aaron Sanchez was fantastic.
What a great guy.
Fun guy, too, that's for sure. But
absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of really great episodes on that, man. I feel like that show is hitting its stride. And interestingly enough, Jeffy, a bunch of radio ratings, they call them the books, came out. And, I'm not saying it's because of our show, but I'm just telling you that the WNPR has jumped like three spots up in the books.
Ooh.
I'm not saying it's me, but I just happen to be there when it's happening. That's all.
Hey,
is that bad?
You know
is
what? I see a direct correlation there. I know what happens when you bring the heat.
This is why I love you. Woo! This is why you get it, Jeff. You get it. There's a great conversation with a chef named Bun Lai on there, who's an amazing forager. I love that conversation so much.
On this show. Yep. It's going to be on this show in a couple weeks, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to have him on here. So check it out if you haven't done so yet. But boy, it's fun to be back here talking food with the Good Brothers and bringing those guests on. I'm excited to be back. I really am. But I'm also, it's weird. Today was the first day I was feeling like, man, I'm kind of missing the whole Hamptons thing, buddy.
That's weird and crazy to have you say that to
me. You think so?
Well, it's like you're a glutton for punishment or something crazy, because it's like, I am back in the city. It's good to be back in the city because it's New York City or whatever for a minute. But I miss my family, man. So it's like it's definitely. I've been doing it a lot longer, I think, than you have. The flip flop and
the back
away,
and forth,
you know. So it's like I'm like, what? You don't like coming home every night, and you don't like, you know, like having the whole like. I don't know. That sort of schedule? I wish I did. I wish I had more of that sort of schedule sometimes.
Well, it's funny because every time I talk to somebody about what we do, and I'm like, yeah, well, in the summer times, I'm out in Montauk, out in the Hamptons, and they're like, oh, you poor thing. And I'm like, listen, I'm sure it's beautiful. I mean, I know it looks beautiful out the window I look out, but, like, it's working my ass off out there, you know?
Absolutely. Like,
I'm not complaining about that. Like, I'm
That's
grateful.
Exactly how I feel, too, though. It's like, it sucks because it's like I'm complaining about not being from my family from, like, a multi-million dollar apartment in New York City.
Right.
Everything's paid for. Beautiful furniture, art on the walls. It's like bananas. But that's the trade-off, I guess, for, you know, what we do.
Well, it feels like, you know, just talking globally a little bit, restaurants are making that comeback. People seem to be, I don't know, getting more used to it. Yeah, COVID's still around, and we did a lot of stuff with COVID here when everything came about. We were in the middle of it. We were doing our, you know, our pop-up shows, which were a lot of fun. But it felt like for a minute it was never going to stop. It was never going to go away. But, you know, I'm not saying that it's over, but it's, I don't know. Are we just becoming used to it? Like, is that going to be the norm now, Jeffy? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah, I think we are getting a little calloused to the idea of COVID being around and people getting it and people getting sick and things like that. But I mean, there are some states and some areas in this country that are really suffering right now from COVID. So it's like, you know, I don't want to belittle it for the people who are suffering, because I feel like it's not a kind way to look at it. You know what I mean? But totally. I definitely think that we are very calloused, very like, fuck, another COVID story, like, really?
Right.
That's what we're gonna talk about, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, but it's still there, and it's still doing some damage in some places.
In certain places,
you know.
It is. Hey, we're supposed to be in Texas in early October, and I turned them down because I don't think I really want to go to Texas right now.
It's probably not a safe spot.
I mean, not for the political things that are there, or on top of that, but just in general with the whole COVID thing. I'm good. And
the mask thing is coming back strong, man. Yeah. Like, in New York, there's a bunch of places that I shop that, like, when I went there, and I'm like, I pulled out my, like, you know, vaccine card, and they were like, nah, man, vaccine or not, we need to ask you to have a mask. And I was like, I don't have one. They're like, here you go, brother. They, like, gave me one right there. Mask up. Everyone mask up. My daughter in school, they want to have her run track, and because she has to be around other kids, they're like, you have to wear a mask while you're running.
Get out of here. While she's running?
I swear to God, dude. Outside. Outside. It's like, I mean, the rules are getting fucking just, that's the part for me. I'm like, oh, man, another rule, another thing. And I want everyone to be safe, but I also don't like following rules. So there's that.
I don't know. I hope it gets better. They're predicting it's going to get way better over the wintertime. I think we'd said the same thing with our heightened education the first year of this. It'll get easier in the wintertime. And, you know, it's just what's going to happen. It's going to go up and down.
My clipboard at our notes from our heavy research that we've done.
Yeah, extensive. Extensive.
We called it right here on Paloma Foods Live. A Thursday 2 years ago, in the beginning of this, we said 2 years from now, it's going to be gone. And I read an article today that they say that, you know, in the next year, it could play itself out and be remembered as like a common cold.
Wow. How about that, Jeffy?
Yeah, because the virus could maybe not get more dangerous, but actually get weaker and weaker. So if that happens, that would be killer, you know? God bless America.
Hey, America, fuck yeah, that's all I got to say. Well, I'm excited that at least some food festivals are coming back around. Not all of them, but a lot of things are coming back, which is always great to see. And I can't wait to be a part of them and get out there and do things. Hey, we had a conversation today about doing an event at the Madison Beach Hotel coming up in February. So things are coming back, man, which is great.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, up here they are. And I cannot wait to cook some kick-ass food together and to just entertain and just be out there with smiles on faces. It's what I really live for, and I'm super excited.
Smiles on faces, asses in the places. Plum and Jeffy are there bringing the demo like you ain't never seen.
Oh, yeah. We tag team a demo like nobody's business.
That's right. You know whose business it is our good friend Marty Duncan. And when we get back, she's going to be joining the program to talk a little bit more about parties, what's going on with her, the All Recipe show she's hosting, or the podcast.
I've been listening to it, actually. As soon as we knew she was going to come back on, I've actually listened to probably like 10 or 15 episodes in the last week and a half. And she's had some amazing guests.
Oh, my gosh.
She's like killing it. And her charm. Her charm is like so disarming to some of these people that everyone falls in love with Marty. That's my new thing. Everyone loves Marty.
That's why we love her, and she's gonna be right here on the show, joining me, Chef Plum, good brother Chef Jeff, right here on Plum Love Foods Live. When we get back, the one and only Marty Duncan. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Oh yeah, Dave, Ergo Chef Knives, the knives used by so many culinary professionals, including all of us here on the program.
From the entry-level Prodigy series to the super sharp Shinzui made from Japanese V10 steel, Ergo Chef has something for everyone.
Hey, listen, every single day I use my Pro Series Santuco and I love it, man. You've seen my knife bag, haven't you? I mean, I've got like three of them in there. It's a great quality knife made by great quality people. And if my word's not enough, just ask guys like Myron Mixon, Guy Fieri, Michael Simon, and tons more.
Tell them you heard about them on Plum Love Foods by using promo code PLUM for a great discount on everything in your order. Knives so sharp, even the great city of Detroit approves.
Get some new gear at ErgoChef.com. Promo code PLUM, that's ErgoChef.com.
Today, our world is tainted. Our world is struggling. Our world may never be our world again. Today will be the last today. Because tomorrow will feel different. Tomorrow will not be the same. Tomorrow will be a chance to try again, if we let it. We must open our eyes. It must make sense. It must be passed down to a new generation, a generation of hope, a younger generation who may just save our industry, a generation that understands functional and revolts against non-function. Take a stand and join the fight. Say no to rosemary sprigs, chopped red peppers. Say no to kale leaves, flowers, and balsamic reduction for no reason. Say no to non-functional garnish. Paid for by the Fight Against Non-Functional Garnish Old People Put on Plates Across America Association.
Coming back live right here, Plum Love Foods Live on a Thursday, September 23rd. We are live, Jeffy, after a little break. Happy to be back with everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah, back at it.
Back
here we are, Plum Love Foods Live, Thursday.
What are you, a monster truck rally guy? Is that some of your strip club
I'm
announcing
games?
I'm
pumped up. I'm pumped up, man.
That's right. You know, one of the best ofs we played actually was one of the years at Mohegan Sun is one of the bits that's in there. And you do your strip club announcer for our good friend Ryan Christopher from Fox 5 and Good Day New York. It's absolutely hysterical.
Oh, it's funny, but it was a real point in my life.
Home wrecking Ryan.
It's funny. Everyone makes fun of me. The people at work were telling me today they want to chart out a timeline of my life because I'm always telling stories and I'm like, oh yeah, I did this 10 years ago and this time. And they're like, we need to chart this shit out because you've done so much fucked up weird shit. And it's true, I have.
Well, hey, speaking of a person who's done a lot of weird shit, our guest tonight is one of the most likable human beings in food. She's done it all from being a sheriff to playing basketball with Michael Jordan, I think. I can't remember. She's done literally everything there is you could possibly do. And won our hearts over the last time on this program when she told us a story about drink donkeys.
Drink donkeys
were a thing. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back to the program one of our favorite individuals on the planet. The one, the only, Marty Knows Parties, Marty Duncan.
Hey, y'all.
There she is. Hey, Marty, what's happening?
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Chef Plum. I'm so good. Nothing much happening. quiet Thursday night, but I did just remember that the weekend starts at 9 o'clock on Thursday. So I've just made a drink and I'm ready to get into this.
Hey, that's what I like to hear. Marty, listen, I'm going to tell you what, I've taken a break from drinking. I'm not sure if you remember the times we talk. I'm a borderline alcoholic. I borderline have an issue as a chef, but I'm having my first glass of bourbon, I think, in about 3 weeks. So just
wow.
one, just
wow.
one.
You.
Just
good
one.
For you.
Just one. Yeah.
Just one.
To see how it feels.
yeah.
To see how it feels. Marty, you were on Facebook tonight making pecan sandies. It was awesome.
You know, I had gotten out of the habit, and mainly because this technology thing just wants to kill me every time I try to do something like that. And it's hard to do it by yourself, too.
Yeah.
And so I did one last week, and people were like, well, you do one every week. So I was like, yeah, I'll try. So anyway, yeah, I went on and I made pecan sandies, which was my daddy's favorite cookie.
There you go.
And it is the number one of all things. The crazy thing is, I wouldn't think this would be the number one recipe on my website, but it has been for the last 5 years.
How about
I mean,
that?
It's consistently the number one recipe on my website. Millions of views,
wow.
millions of downloads.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy to me.
Why do you think that is? It. I mean, people love cookies, I guess. Or is it maybe it just strikes a nerve with people? Like it's not like a normal cookie people
uh-huh.
would make? I don't know.
It's
what
it.
Is it?
No, it is nostalgia.
Yeah.
100%. Nostalgia. And you know, it's granny recipes really became a thing during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh
and,
yeah.
But this is happening way before that. It's just one of those things that younger people don't make, but their grandparents or their aunt or their mama made. It
yep.
was my daddy's absolute favorite cookie, whether or not my mother made them from scratch or he got that one from I think the Keebler Elves make. He just loved them. My dad thought they were the greatest. Because they weren't super sweet. He
right.
didn't like chocolate. He didn't like super sweet things. So that's why he loved those. And
I appreciate that.
I've worked on this recipe over the years. You know, we live in pecan land. A lot of pecans grown down
uh-huh.
here. And so I'd bring them home and always need to find something to do with them. And so I was trying to make these cookies, and they were his absolute favorite.
Well, I'm going to make those cookies for my client.
I made that recipe.
Yeah, I'm going to make them. I'm going to download
them.
I'm gonna be the 1,000,000th and one download. I'm gonna make them.
Let me tell you, I like it because it makes a big batch, and you can do half that recipe, and it works perfect. Sometimes you can't split a recipe; it doesn't work very well, especially when you're baking. But this one works perfectly, and I love keeping the a big roll of these in my refrigerator. Just like I bought them at the grocery store,
yeah.
I can slice off one or two a night and have myself a little bit of dessert, a treat, or something.
Because
I don't know. I have an issue with sweets. You have an issue with booze. I have an issue with sweets. And if they're in my house, I will eat them.
Yep.
So, but I usually would just slice off one, put it in the oven, bake it, and then I'm happy.
Just one, huh? Now, how does that? I asked you the question as I was watching you make the dough, but how well does that dough freeze?
Yeah, it freezes great. I freeze. Sometimes I'll make a whole batch, freeze one, and then just keep one in the refrigerator.
Okay.
A lot of times, though, if it's for a party or whatever, I'll make the whole one roll, and then I'll keep the other. But it makes a lot of cookies. It uses 4 cups of flour, so. Makes a lot of cookies, but
are pecans in like season right now?
Yes, they're coming right now. They're not being harvested yet down here. They may be in other places, but down here in
this
Alabama,
is the time for them, right?
It's soon. It's coming on. It won't be long.
Man,
yeah, we lost a lot of pecan trees with that hurricane. Not last year, year before last,
uh-huh.
and. So we don't have, we will not have as many as we typically have. But yeah, this is in Lower Alabama, LA, as we like to call it. LA's got a ton of pecan trees. I'm so sad y'all aren't coming to LA. I thought you were, and now we're not having our big event, so you're not gonna come. But next year,
let's
coming.
Do a pop up. Let's do a pop up. We want to come. Let's figure it out.
Yeah. You know, I thought about, even though we weren't doing the event because of COVID, because Baldwin County, Alabama's had its issues over the summer because it's a resort town, you know, beach town, and people come from all over the place. So it has had its issues. But the numbers are starting to stabilize a little bit, and so maybe we can end up doing something. Yeah.
Maybe in the spring or something. I don't know. You never know.
Yeah. I hope so. I'm like you. I am so ready to get back to live events where we can hang out with people. I love being able to. The Facebook Live is great because you can interact with people, but I can't hear them. I can't see them.
Right.
I love being able to do those live events where we can cook live with people and get their feedback and talk to them and hear what they like and hear what they don't like and, you know, find out, you know, their biggest question in the kitchen. I think that's the best part of our job.
Yeah, that is the fun part of it, that's for sure. Just being with the big group, and I can't wait. I know that our Sun, Wine, and Food Fest up here is happening in January this year, so excited to be a part of that. I'm going to make sure, I have a big meeting about that tomorrow, and I make sure you're a part of that too, Marty, because you definitely should be. I want to talk...
My hand is up.
Yes, ma'am.
My hand is up.
I want to talk a little bit about the All Recipes Show, Homemade, the podcast. You know, I want you to know that when you first started doing the show, I was by myself in Montauk early one morning getting breakfast because I couldn't sleep. So I got up super early, went to this pancake place and sat outside, and I listened to your show while I had breakfast, you and Guy Fieri talking. I was hooked. It was great. Fan-fucking-tastic. So fun to listen to, Marty.
He was so much fun.
No. You were so much fun.
He just made me laugh. Y'all didn't even hear the stuff that got cut out.
I can only imagine.
I laughed so hard. He was 30 minutes late coming on because there was a fire on his property and they were trying to get it contained. Plus, he's got peacocks. And you know, if you know anything about peacocks, if you have one, you have like a million. I don't know. They're like rabbits. They're just like one peacock begets 100 million peacocks. So he's like, the peacocks went crazy, and he was just telling this whole story about the fire and the peacocks. I'm like, oh, my, I wish they'd left it in. It was so funny.
Oh, man.
I laughed myself silly.
So is that how it works,
every
though?
Every episode was like that.
Was it? Yeah, so you record it and then send it to them?
I jump on, and they actually record it.
Then
they edit it how they want to. It's owned by Meredith.
Right.
Meredith's a big corporation. Meredith owns People Magazine, Food and Wine.
Yeah.
They own Travel and Leisure, Parenting, Southern Living, and of course, the 60 million strong All Recipes. All Recipes is the largest food community in food.
Yeah,
so
I use it.
I'm very
I use it all the time. I use it all the time. I think All Recipes is one of those places that when you go to it, you can always read people's comments and notes and just get like a real feel for something. You know what I mean? Like not just like read
100%.
A recipe. And I think that's amazing. I think it's
me too.
Well,
they don't hold back. The community will tell you what they think about a recipe. They try them and they'll not be shy about saying you need to leave that in 10 more minutes or you reduce the amount of flour by a third or something like, you know,
yep.
They'll just say
absolutely.
Whatever. And that's the thing I love. They're candid and they tell you how it is.
Yep.
I hosted the All Recipes piece on the National Better Show years ago, Marty. I think you did that show too, didn't you? In New York, the Better Show.
I did it. I loved it.
Yeah, they were great. And I hosted the All Recipes segment. I think I told you the story. The reason I didn't do Food Network Star was because I was hosting that segment and Food Network wanted me to quit. Anyway, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to quit the paid job. But they would always give us recipes, though, that were just... I don't think they understood cooking on television versus cooking on the internet or recipe. The recipes they would give us to cook on this 4-minute segment, daily segment, it was impossible. Like, I'm like, we don't have enough time. There's not enough mise en place to make. I mean, it was remarkably difficult and to work with those people. That's why I don't think they like me. But the TV channel that I do my Monday segments on is owned by Meredith.
I'll just say this. They've had a lot of influx of very talented people from all across Meredith that have come now to all recipes. Jason Burnett, who I work with on the podcast, and the whole digital team, that they have a giant amount of talent in that brand now. So you'd find it very different now if you were to ask them to. Yeah, very different now. But I've really enjoyed the show and have really enjoyed every single episode. And people ask me all the time, like, what's your favorite episode? I'm like, and of course you want it to be like your best friend, like Justin Warner's my best friend. He was the very first one we taped. Guy was the first one we aired. Justin was the first one we taped. And I wanted his to come out around his birthday, so we held it for a week. But
oh, that's nice.
I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know who would be my favorite. Like Duff Goldman, I use a million Duff Goldman quotes a day. I mean, every day. Like, I cannot think about apple pie without thinking about pie goo.
I'll tell you what. I fanboyed out when I saw that you had Joe Coy on there.
Shut up. I've never had more fun in my life.
I could not believe it. I was like, how the hell did you get this guy? He is one of the funniest dudes, too. It's like,
oh, my God.
Such a good episode. It was so cool. And just to hear that he was so into food, too, I had no idea.
I love him. Now, granted, you know, he's a comedian. Sometimes he'd be a bit off the track, and it's embarrassing. but, y'all, he's still the funniest ones when he imitates his mother or his child.
Yeah.
And he uses the, oh, my God, Joe, you sit up straight. I mean, the one that he does where he's in church and the mother pinches him, and everybody that's ever been in a church has gotten that pinch at some point in time from, you know, where they use just their nail. They don't really pinch, they just dig their nail in, and they're like, sit up straight, you're embarrassing me. Everybody can relate to that. And he tells the funniest story about being in church and his mother just having pinching him back into his seat. Go Google it and you'll find it and watch it and you will laugh. It's funny. He's awesome.
It's great. And you guys, it's called
we haven't done that egg roll lumpia showdown thing yet, but he said as soon as the tour kind of eases up, maybe we would.
Well,
I should have done it back when the pandemic was going strong, because then that way we would have gotten it done. Now he's got a big movie coming out with Steven Spielberg.
Unbelievable.
I heard that. I heard that.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Now,
precious.
You've had some icons on this show, too. I mean, you know, just one of the ones I think about. I mean,
Ina?
Yeah, Ina was amazing. I got to interview her for WNPR as well. But I think of, like, Sarah Moulton, like, just old school iconic when it comes to, you know, cooking food on television. Just... some of those are so great.
Jacques Pepin and Claudine. I had done a Metropolitan Cooking and Entertaining show with them many years ago, and I confessed this to him during the podcast, and they cut it out. But I had a car there. For some reason, I had a car there. I don't know if it was a rental car or my car. But the host said, for dinner tonight, we're going to Hugo's, and I think it's Houston, and Houston. Mm-hmm. And they're like, can you go pick up Chef Pepin and his daughter and bring them? You have a car. I said, yes, I'll be happy to go pick them up. Well, they're staying at my hotel, so I mean, they just ride with me.
Yeah.
So I went on the way there, fine. We went because we were under time constraint, but on the way back, I pretended to be lost just so I could listen to him talk.
Oh, man.
Now, I've confessed it to him. I said, the statute of limitations has probably run out for kidnapping, but I really drove you around at least 20 minutes longer than I should have because I just wanted to hear you talk.
I would have done that same shit. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that.
I mean, I did not want him to get out of the car. I wanted him to talk forever. I adore him.
Oh, that's so great.
That was one of the episodes I listened to first. Just because I saw that he was on there, and I'm such a big fan of his. He's just such a humble, just amazing guy. Oh, you know, he's done it all.
Amazing.
I know you had Marcus Samuelson. Go ahead, please.
I have Marcus Samuelson. I have Marcus Samuelson. I adore him. One of my favorite stories, the whole thing, with him telling the story about bike racing with his sister on the way to his grandmother's house. And he said, it'd be all fun and games till you got to the bottom of the steps and you'd run up to the top. You'd take a deep breath because when you went in that door, you knew full well you were there to work. And he said, my grandparents didn't have one problem with child labor. He said, we were there to work.
Well, I think one of the things that separates Marcus when you're interviewing him and hanging out and talking to him, I had him on NPR and it became a very... He becomes, I don't know, incredibly familiar almost, don't you think, when you're talking to a guy like him? The stories just flow. It feels like you're part of it. He's very engaging when it comes to that, which I think is just, I mean, our conversation, it's one of my favorite episodes I've done, was just hanging out and talking with him just about stories and food and the history and his book that was coming out. Just fantastic. I think yours was kind of the same way.
Yes. But we also have the music thing in common, and that was part of my favorite part of that conversation was talking about music. He is a giant fan of all kinds of music, and I am too, and that was really fun for me too. In fact, I just saw him in Aspen weekend before last at Aspen Food & Wine, and I took him a cap from Muscle Shoals because he had talked about loving Muscle Shoals, the documentary, and how much he loved Muscle Shoals music. And so I took him a baseball cap from Muscle Shoals, and got a chance to catch up with him for a minute. Yeah.
That's great.
Love him. Love. Adore him.
So, Marty, as a chef...
I had fun with everybody.
Of course you do.
Everybody.
You always do. And that's one of the things that comes across so well on the podcast Homemade, the All Recipes Homemade podcast hosted by our good friend Marty here. The one thing I think is so interesting.
You mean Marty Duncan?
Yeah,
you mean
the one.
Duncan? You could find her on Instagram at Marty Duncan. That's Marty, MartiDuncan. Marty Duncan. Marty Knows Parties on Facebook. Check her out.
And MartiDuncan.com, right?
MartiDuncan.com? Producer of parties and weddings. The lady... with the plan.
And I'm pretty sure Alabama she's going to come up with Drink Peacocks next. But Marty, one of the things I was going to ask is, I'm not trying to go a negative route with it, but, you know, and listen, a show like this, like Homemade, is not for, you know, your audience that you're gearing towards, while I still listen and enjoy the show, I'm not who the show is pointed towards. Obviously, you're pointing towards home cooks, hobby cooks, people like that of that nature. I would see this, and I'd see you'd have like all these great chefs. You know, you'd have, you know, Marcus on, and you talk to, you know, Jacques Pepin. But then you have Yeardley Smith, the girl who does the voice on Simpsons. What does she know about food that she could possibly even fathom to have a conversation with someone of your caliber about food?
Okay, she's so funny. Number one, it doesn't really just have to be about cooking and food. It can be about cooking and food, but it can be about the mutual things that we enjoy about food or your time in the kitchen or whatever. She does a food YouTube channel.
Exactly.
It's called Oil and Water, and it's so funny. But there's not one thing she makes in there that seems like it's going to be any good. But she is a passionate cook. I mean, seriously, you hear, because she does sort of like the Guy Fieri whammy thing to herself. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Guy, you know, on grocery games would give you those crazy whammies. And like, hey, hold up. I know I said you were going to make pancakes, but I need you to make pancakes using an iron. Not a waffle iron, you know, like a iron.
Gotcha, yep.
So, I mean, she does those things to herself. She whammies her own self. And I think that's funny. And listen, you got to be enchanted by her. She is the cutest, funniest thing. I love her. I just love her.
Yeah.
And she's Lisa Simpson.
Well,
and she's been Lisa Simpson for like, I don't know how many episodes, but a gazillion episodes.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Most of my adolescence.
Yeah, funny. You know what? I'll tell you one thing that you may not know about Lisa Simpson and Yeardley Smith. They're responsible for turning a lot of people on to being vegetarian. They had Lisa Simpson hosted Paul and Linda McCartney on The Simpsons. And they only would come on if Lisa Simpson became a vegetarian. So at that point in time, when she had on Paul and Linda McCartney, she became a vegetarian. Lisa Simpson became a vegetarian. And guess what? Yardley Smith kind of did too. She's not 100% vegetarian, but kind of. But anyway, to this day, Lisa Simpson is still a vegetarian.
Hold on. And hasn't aged a bit. Well, you sold me, Marty. I'm going to listen to the Yardley Smith episode now. I saw it come up, and I'm like, oh, God, really? The first thing it made me think of was when you have those god-awful Food Network shows, and that's all they're doing now. Trust me, I know from experience as of a week ago.
Just trying to get that influencer people? Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, hey, you know, you have chefs who have, you know, won awards and spent their entire careers, 25, 30 years, just building up and learning their skills,
yeah.
And now all of a sudden Lisa Simpson's going to be, what? No. But that's not the audience they're gearing towards, you know?
Well, hey. I will say this. The influencer thing is a real thing. I understand why they do it. It's low-hanging fruit. I get it. If you've got 1 million followers or 5 million followers and I have 5,000, why wouldn't you get the person with 1 million followers? But I will tell you why. Because a lot of those people just don't know anything. I mean, it's easy to create something for the internet. It's easy to edit. It's easy to craft something. It's a completely different thing when you got to do it live and you have to show your chops. Now, we know from other shows that have evolved in the last few years on Food Network. I'm trying to be careful about how I say this with some of the influencer people, and they don't laugh.
It doesn't work. It goes away very, very quickly.
They don't slap like they used to.
Well, interestingly enough, and I had a show that was pitched recently, and they said that the only thing they're taking right now is competition shows because that's all people are watching, which I thought was really interesting.
Because that's all they put out. So why would they watch anything else?
That's all they watch, man. It's crazy. And I still find myself, though.
That's all they watch because that's all that's on.
They won't give it enough time to try. But I still find myself now, Marty, going back and YouTubing. I did it the other day before I went to work. I YouTube old Emerald Live episodes. God, I loved that show back in the day.
Would I kill to have a live talk show where you could cook? Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be the best.
I would love that because one thing about my podcast, people say, I like the podcast, but I want to see you.
Right.
And see, it's not fair because I'm on Zoom with the person, so I can see the person, you know, but the audience can't see us.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, wouldn't I love that to be able to talk, have some, like, I want Kelly Clarkson's job except with cooking.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you're right because some of these conversations, these conversations we have over on Zoom or Skype or whatever we're using to have them. I mean, the actual, even just watching that, I talked to Carla Lolly Music today. You ever heard of her?
No.
Yeah. So she's big YouTube. She's big from Food and Wine. Amazing. She's a great. She was a professional chef, became like a food influencer type, but can actually cook. And the conversation was just so good because she's so funny and like her faces she would make. And her and I are like, my co-host would say something, and she's a chef and I'm a chef, and we both like looked at each other immediately, like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? And it's fun to see that, and people want to see that stuff, but you can't catch it on the radio. You know, you can't hear that.
Hard, yeah. I will say the one thing that's great about podcasts is that you can listen to them whenever you want to.
Right.
You don't have to wait for a certain time.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good because if I want to listen to this, I can go back and listen to it whenever I want.
Yep. Anytime you want. Although I think it's coming, and Jeffy, we haven't talked about this yet either. I think it's coming. They're going to stop being free pretty soon.
Yeah.
Oh, you think?
I do. It's too, I mean, too, Joe Rogan's, is he speaks to 20 million people a day. That's more than all the TV networks combined. Like, there's money to be made there, and they're going to start charging for it. It's got to be.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, I've loved every second of it. I've had a blast. I was able to keep myself employed and occupied during the pandemic. I taped all those episodes except for the first one that I did. I taped in studio, and they built a brand new studio for me. And
wow.
At the Meredith building. And it wasn't just for me. It was for me, the Southern Living podcast, the Food and Wine podcast. A lot of them were going to be done in there. And then it wasn't ready when I taped my first episode. So I taped it at a different studio. And then the second to the end, every single one of those, with the exception of a couple when I was on the road and I had to makeshift the studio, but were done in my closet.
Yeah.
I made myself a little recording studio in my closet.
I love it.
And I have been in my closet for the last 18 months and have loved every second of it. But I know. Well, I saw Giada do it when she was during the pandemic, when it first started on the lockdown. She was having to record voice work for one of her shows.
Yeah.
And they showed her in her closet. And I'm like, hell, I can do that. So I just made myself a little studio in my closet.
That's all you got to do, because it's no echoing in there. It's nice and quiet. Usually, like, the sound doesn't bounce off everything. It makes total sense. You actually had Giada on the show, too, man. That was kind of fun. Now, are you guys...
I sure did.
A lot of these people on the show, like, you're friends with, personal friends with, and have had relationships with. I know Giada was on Food Network Star the season you were there, but did you become friendly with her like that?
No, because I wasn't on her team.
Right.
So I did not have, I wasn't allowed to have any contact with Giada, but I have seen her since then, you know, and I wouldn't say we're friends by any stretch, but I would say she definitely were friendly. And she was, when I asked her to come on, she said, absolutely, I'll come on. She had a book coming out, so that doesn't hurt.
Right.
You know,
but you talk to her directly. So a lot of people don't know when people have books coming out and things like that. The book publishing people will book the guest on the show. You know, when they're
a lot of times, yes.
Yeah. So, but you went directly to Giada for this.
Yeah, but I mean, by hook or by crook, I usually know how to get in touch with them. You know, I got a couple of key phone numbers and a couple of key email addresses, and if I don't know how to get them, I know somebody who does know.
Yeah. So. That's always helpful.
Yeah, that
for
makes
sure.
it easier. But I use all the resources, you know, whether it's the book, the agent, the book agency, their management company, their
maybe your Alabama police contacts.
That's illegal, by the way. That's illegal.
Well, allegedly, I'm just saying. That. I don't know if that's possible.
Allegedly, I'm just telling you, it's illegal, and I would never do that. Never, never, never. I'm not going to jail for nobody.
That's so funny.
No.
Hey.
No, it's not necessary, because...
Go ahead.
For a second there.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Saying? Yeah, technical difficulties.
I'm back.
We got you.
Back.
We got you.
Yeah.
The police were checking in with you, weren't they?
That was it.
Ah, maybe.
I shouldn't have said that. Sorry, guys.
You know, isn't it weird? I know everybody experiences this, but isn't it weird if you say something, then into your phone, it immediately happens like 1 second later?
Oh, my God. Yesterday,
I was talking to my nephew. I'm like, dude, you need to get a real credit card. I said, like a Discover or just, you know,
right.
You just need to build your credit. You need to get. I'm like, I tell you what, every now and then, Discover will send me ask a friend thing, and they'll pay me $50. I said, when I get one of those, I'll forward it to you, fill it out, and I'll split the $50 with you. 1 minute later, I got an email from Discover with one of those $50.
Come on.
1 minute. It dinged while I'm still on the phone with a kid. It dinged. I'm like, oh, my God, what's that? I looked, and it was like $50 referral. I'm like, okay, it's official. They can hear everything we say.
Yeah. Then
you
should have said, I meant $3,000 referral I'll split with you and see if you get that email.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, back to your question about, like, getting people on the show, I found, okay, so my strategy was I was going to get the biggest fish in the pond first.
Right.
And then I knew it would be easier to get. So I asked Guy. And why wouldn't I ask Guy? Guy's a person who encouraged me to do Food Network Star when I met him. He's been just as genuine and real and as encouraging as anybody I've ever met. And I wanted him to be my first guest. And I knew if I got Guy, I could probably get just about anybody else after that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And he was my first guest. And I'll be forever grateful for that. Yeah, he took time out from chasing peacocks and putting out fires to come on my podcast.
Yeah, he's...
Well,
he's,
I just laughed. I've never laughed so hard.
He's actually been on this program as well, and he was going to spend 20 minutes with us and ended up spending about 50. And we never once... I don't think he has a lot of interviews where people call him Chef. And, you know, we didn't talk much food TV. We talked more about the business and young people in the industry, and I think he really enjoyed that. He said that it was a different type of interview. He really liked it, so... You know, it's
I bet.
It's funny when you can reach back to these people and their roots, you know, and everybody on the planet wants to talk about the Food Network stuff. But when you get back in there and talk about what got you to the game, you know, people like to tell those stories. And by the way, Marty, Mike Stibe from Ergo Chef is chiming in. He's saying hello right now on the instant feedback.
So it was,
he was there the day I met Guy. The Ergo Chef guys were there.
Yeah.
I got an Ergo Chef knife that weekend, and I use it every single day.
I saw you using it in your demo tonight. You did.
Yeah, I did, because that's the only knife I ever. I got a drawer full. That's the one I like. I don't like any other knife. I tell you what, when I saw Guy at Food and Wine, and he had a holster.
Yeah, the new one.
His Ergo Chef knife.
Uh huh.
Yeah, right in the holster, like. He said, because if I put it down, somebody will pick it up. So I keep it in my holster. I loved it. I thought it was great.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I love it.
That's a great knife. And Mike's chiming in talking about he had the best time in Georgia. You guys are all hung out with a guy, had a lot of fun. So he's just reminiscing about that. He says you're awesome and loves you. He's chiming in on the instant feedback. So
I love him back. You know, the funny thing is this is a long story. I'm going to give you the abbreviated version. I had been booked for that show, and it was my very first big show.
Oh, wow.
So you know what that means. They didn't pay me much.
Of course not.
I was very, very little money. But I had, because I had to do this whole, it was getting close to some of the holidays, so I had to do this whole parties and entertaining thing, not just a food demo, but drinks and tips for entertaining and all kinds of stuff. So I had three girls with me to help me get everything out, and because you only have a limited window of time to get your stuff set up
right
and then off because the next person's got to come out. So I had three girls with me to help me, and so I'd booked the cheapest hotel I could find that was near the place where they were having the event. But as we're driving over, I look at my assistant and I said, Caroline, who are we going to meet in that cheap hotel that could ever help us? And she said, well, nobody, because they won't stay there, they'll be staying where the event is. I said, look, call them up. If they have any rooms at all, book them. Use my credit card. Don't tell me how much it is, because I'll stress about it all weekend. Just do it. So she called them up. They had two rooms left. We took the two rooms. And when we pulled up, we were literally 30 minutes away when we did this. 30 minutes from Atlanta, from Birmingham, Atlanta. We were 30 minutes away when we booked those rooms. So we pull in.
Wow.
Get out of the car, and the valet's standing there. He goes, it's $28 a day for valet parking. We had three cars. I'm like, oh, gosh.
Jeez.
I'm like, we'll self-park. We'll self-park. Thank you, but we'll self-park. So I said, I just need to go in and get my credit card. He goes, I'm going to need your key. So I give the guy the key. I go into the front, and I have not been in there 10 minutes when I come out, but the guy has disappeared. My car is there. My keys are not there, and the car's locked, and the guy's not there. So I'm waiting, and I'm standing behind the valet thing. I have literally been on this property for 8 minutes, maybe, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, excuse me, can you tell me how to get to Buckhead? And I knew who it was. I recognized his voice. I turned around, it's Guy Fieri tapping me on the shoulder.
Oh, geez.
I've literally been there 10 minutes.
Wow.
And I looked at him. I said, you got to take a cab, dude. And he just cracked up. He goes, And he thought I worked there. I'm like, hey, I don't work here. He goes, well, what do you do? I said, I'm doing the same thing you're doing. He goes, you're a chef? I said, well, I wouldn't call me a chef. I'm a cook, and I'm doing a demo for the event. And he goes, wow, what do you do? I'm like, well, my name is Marty, and I throw parties. And he goes, your name is Marty, and you throw parties? He's like being a smart aleck, right? He goes, you changed your name. I said, of course I didn't. He goes, I want to see your ID right now. So I took out my billfold and I held it up. He goes, oh, my God, guys, this girl's name is Marty, and she throws parties. He looked at me and goes, why don't you have a show on Food Network? I said, dude, don't you think I'd get one if I knew how? I said, but you got one. You could help me. And he said, He said, okay, I'll help you. And he goes, come to my event tomorrow. He said, I'm going to come to yours. I'm going to sit in the front row, and I'm going to watch you. And I thought, oh, hell, I'm going to throw up now.
Oh, geez.
And so he comes to my event. I go to his. He invites all my girls to his book signing, gives them all a book. So lovely, so generous. And then afterwards, you know, all the Ergo Chef guys were with him. They were creating some knives together.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's when I met Mike and all the Ergo Chef guys and all guys, posse. Yeah. And we hung out together that whole weekend. And ever since, we were friends. And he would always, every time I'd see him, he'd say, did you audition for Food Network Star yet? They're looking for people like you. And I'd just say, guy, I'm not a cook like that. I've just spent half the day in the pantry. And he just cracked up, and he would say, they're looking for real people. You need to do it. So one day I just did it, and I couldn't tell anybody. You know how it goes. You can't tell anybody, nobody. Yeah. Yeah. So when he came to do his episode, he walks out, and I'm looking down. When I can just see him get settled, I look up and catch his eye, and he looked at me, and his mouth dropped wide open. It's like, oh, hell, there she is. So after the episode was taped, I came around the corner, and he, all of a sudden, like a hand came out through the curtain and pulled me back behind the curtain. He goes, I told you so. I knew it. And I'm like, shut up before you get me thrown off before I ever even get out the door here. But anyway, he's been the greatest encouragement, the greatest friend, always there for, gives me an ear if I need one. And I couldn't think more of him until he did that whole thing where he raised over $20 million for restaurant workers during the pandemic on phone calls, video messages, being relentless, being how he is, knowing something needed to get done, gave out those $500 grants that did not have to be repaid. All anybody had to do was just show them that they worked in a restaurant and they were out of work. That's all you had to do. And they gave you $500.
Unbelievable.
He helped a lot of people. I mean, just imagine if you were scared your car was going to get repossessed and you got $500.
Yeah. Rent. Diapers, all that.
Yeah, loved him forever, but now I admire him more than just care about him. I mean, I so admire him.
Yeah, he's
one of our favorites.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to get him back on.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
Real deal. The real deal. For all, you know, he was just at Food and Wine, and, you know, for all the years that's been going on, he's never been invited because he's not that James Beard type of a chef.
Right.
He's an everyman chef, you know? And he got invited this year, and they were all so I could just tell, and I even heard some of them stand up and say, we are so genuinely pleased, and will you please come back, and we have loved, because, you know, he's irreverent, he's funny, he makes food that nobody else would make, and
approachable.
Brilliant.
Very
his
approachable.
Demo was brilliant.
You know, just,
he's just the best.
One of those. I mean, yeah, that's fun. Listen, you can feel the love for Guy coming out of you there. There's, even in that story, what a great story that was. And by the way, Mike Stobbs chiming in saying, he says they couldn't get a cab or a limo either.
He wanted me to drive him, I think. No.
I would drive you, but the damn guy with my key left.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, within an hour, my life changed.
Wow. That's crazy.
I was in a cheap hotel, never going to meet anybody, changed the hotel, pull up, been in the thing 10 minutes when Guy tapped me on the shoulder.
That's amazing. What a great story that is, Marty.
Yeah, so. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
So what's next? What's next?
I love that you
right
said
now?
That. Me too.
Jeffy. You know, Jeffy's a big God-fearing man.
Me too. Except I'm not a man.
Yeah.
Jesus. What's next though, Marty? Because so many things, like you're climbing all these different ladders and doing so many fun things. Obviously, I know you're waiting for festivals and things like that to come back because you are, you know, the party human being. So what's next? What do we do?
I'm making an album.
Music?
I'm
shut up.
I'm just kidding.
Damn.
I'm just kidding.
It wouldn't surprise me.
If anybody would let me, I would do it. But I'm pretty sure that when people say, can you sing? I will say, I will sing. I think it's a giant difference between can and will.
Oh, that's great. Like, I will
when
sing.
When I said I wanted Kelly Clarkson's show, I wasn't kidding. I want a show where you can get out and sing for the first thing and have all the... No, I love music, but no, nobody's giving me an album.
Hey, listen, let's do, I'll play guitar on it. We'll do it together. It'll be great.
Okay. Yeah, I would love, though, however, for my cooking show to do like a Name That Tune section. I am very hard to beat on Name That Tune of music from a certain genre, not all genres.
60s and 70s, right? Is that what you said? Is that what you said on Facebook tonight? 60s and 70s?
50, 60s, 70s, I'm hard to beat. Early 80s, even to the 90s a bit. But, yeah, after that, like on Shazam, I would struggle. Soul music all day long, any kind of classic rock all day long. But, you know, there's... I'd struggle with some of the other categories, but yeah, I mean, like play a song, I bet I can pick it out. Like usually in just a couple notes. That's my real genius.
Wow, the untapped secret power of Marty Duncan is she knows every song there ever was up to 92.
Yes. Well, or maybe 96, I'll say. No,
I think
on Food Network Star they call me the human jukebox because, they didn't let us have a radio or nothing. You could have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just sing all the time, and I knew all the words to everything. So people were like, oh, the human jukebox will play something.
Well, see, I fancy myself, Marty, similar to that, but, and Jeffy, you can vouch for this, I know a little bit about everything. Jeffy, if you remember Jeffy, when we talked to NASA, I was dropping knowledge. We had NASA on the show a few weeks back, Marty, and
NASA knowledge. He's my go-to, physician's assistant.
Are you talking about little NAS? Are you talking about NASA, like the National Aeronautic and Space Association?
That's the one. But you know why? Because I want to talk to him about food and space.
Second one.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about food and space. And I said, Jeffy, call NASA. He called NASA and they loved it. They said, yeah, we'd love to do this show.
Yeah, they called us back. It was crazy. Real talk. I called them kind of high early in the morning and they were like, got right back to me. And that freaked me out because I was like, hello? And they were like, hi, this is blankety blank from NASA. And I was like, oh, hey. You know, like it was really wild. And then, like, you know, we went through the whole thing, and I'm like, yeah, no, I produce for, you know, Plum of Foods Live with, celebrity chef Plum, who's, gas and Plum up all real hard. And then they were like, yeah, we'd love this. We have this guy, Ryan. I think he'd be great. I'm like, let's do it. Houston, we have a podcast to do.
But it made sense, though, Marty, because
Houston, wasn't it Huntsville?
It was Houston.
No.
Houston, we have a problem. Hansel.
Alabama.
Oh, I thought you meant like Hansel. Hansel's so hot right now. Like
Hansel
Zoolander.
Likes his chickens.
I don't even know what that means.
Huntsville.
Yes.
Huntsville,
Alabama.
NASA is.
I've never been to Huntsville, Alabama. I'd love to come.
Yeah, well, the people we talked to were in Houston. It was just so cool, Marty, because it made a lot of sense because I don't think anyone really asked them a lot about food and space. And, you know, it was really interesting, actually, to talk about. I mean, they have chefs who...
I cannot wait to listen to that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. But the best part about the whole conversation is the Easter egg in there is after everything I would ask or Jeff would ask, the guy would say, you know, that's a great question.
It's not even a joke.
I do now. Listen, you know what? That's what I do when I'm trying to find something to say.
It's a crutch phrase.
I always say that I'm trying to help. I'm helping myself get a little bit of air there so I can come up with an answer.
But he literally, after every question, you know, that's a great question, Chef. At one point,
listen, on my podcast, did you ever notice? Sometimes I'll say, let me ask you this. That's me trying to find a question in my pea brain. I'm trying to dig one out. I do it every single question. Now let me ask you this.
That's
and I'm
too
like, hey,
funny.
Could y'all start cutting those out? Because I do it every question. But it's just they're trying to get some to try to get an answer.
Yeah,
think.
Well,
that's
it's just it's also transitional. You know, you'll find yourself doing that. Sometimes I do this. I'm like, hey, let me ask you. Like, and I'm like, I'm already talking to you. I've been asking you questions for 20 minutes. So I don't need to ask again. But yeah, you should check the NASA episode out. It's pretty interesting. I mean, at one point in time, I'm like a 5-year-old kid, and I'm like, let me ask you this, buddy. So, can you put when I was a kid growing up in Virginia, my family would show up at the house. They would put that cold beer outside when it was cold outside to save space in the refrigerator. I said, could you do that in space too? Because you just keep things outside. And you know what he said?
That's a great question, Plum.
That's a great question.
That's a great question, Chef Plum.
Yeah, good question, Chef. Yeah.
And it got to where he kept saying it so much, we just kept chuckling and laughing to each other. Now it's become a drinking game when you listen to the show. Every time he says that, you got a drink.
Yeah, I think that was a great idea, Plum.
Oh, Marty, you are a treasure. I love chatting with you all the time. I look forward to hopefully seeing you very, very soon. I think it's going to happen. I think I will see you in the next 4-5 months, I think. That's what I'm going to say, Jeffy.
I think you're going to see me sooner than that.
I hope so.
I predict, yeah, that too, but I mean even sooner than that. And I predict, where are you these days?
You come to New York. I'm here. I'm in Connecticut. I'm right outside New York City.
Okay. Oh, speaking of New York.
Speaking of New York, I wanted to say was blown away in 9/11 post. I had no idea that you guys were in New York when that went down, and I just wanted to say that's crazy. I'm sure it was heavy, but I just wanted to say, you know, thanks as a New Yorker and an American. That's hardcore just to be there and then jump in and do the stuff you were doing.
Yeah, I mean, well, at first, when I first started running down the street, I was trying to find my parents who were there with their church group of all crazy things, and that picture was that my dad took that picture that I posted on my Instagram from the church bus. They were literally 4 blocks away, and they would have been closer, but one little old man, it was a senior citizens group, one little man didn't make it to the bus in time. There was just a leave the Marriott Marquis at 8:30, and they left a little bit later. And had they left on time, they probably would have been way too close.
Wow.
So thank you that did not. But anyway, when I saw on television and I knew that's where they were going, because I was there for work, I just started running down there as fast as I could. And everybody was walking the other way, just covered in ashes and quiet. There was no ambulances. You didn't hear any sirens. You know how it normally used to be in New York, honk, honk, ambulance, siren, all the time. And it was nothing. It was just scarily quiet. And the sky was the prettiest blue color I've ever seen then or now. And I remember looking up and thinking, how could that have happened? I mean, the sky was just so beautiful. And the closer you got to the ground zero, of course, the air was just, you know, filled with after my parents, Rudy Giuliani talked to the governor of Alabama and let my parents go because they had New York on a lockdown. But Rudy talked to the governor of Alabama, who was Bob Riley at that time, and Bob Riley asked him to get them out. So the bus left like at 6 o'clock that morning. They escorted at 5 o'clock, I think, escorted them out of the city with some motor scouts, got them out of New York because everything was shut down, everything. And they came home, and they were asking me, like begging me, please get on the bus. And I'm like, no, I'll get a flight out tomorrow. Well, as you all know, there were no flights for days and days. Yeah. So what was I going to do, sit in my hotel room and watch the coverage? So I just went down there, started helping to organize. Now I'm good at organizing. I started calling people, called Walmart, called my friend that owned Outback Steakhouse, called anybody I could think of, just started asking for supplies. But people just started showing up, trucks, you know. Truckloads coming from New Jersey, coming from Connecticut, even Kentucky, from far away, even that. Yeah, so it was, and I stayed down there for 2 full days and worked until I got a notice that I had a rental car. And I went to Newark Airport to get a rental car. And I had already tried to get on a plane twice and couldn't and had to come all the way back. So But I got a cab out to Newark Airport, and I had a rental car, and I drove 17 hours to get to my best friend's wedding in time in Chicago that Saturday.
Wow. What a memory that is, huh?
Yeah, I mean, so, yeah, I just, they wouldn't let any girls, even though I was former law enforcement, they still wouldn't let me go down there. You know, I wanted to get in there and start helping. You wanted to do something. But after a few hours, like, you, it becomes very, I mean, I wasn't there the first night, not on that, I think it was a Tuesday. I wasn't there the first night. I went down there Wednesday morning, and I stayed all day and was back the next day and stayed all day and night as long as I, you know. I just went back, took a quick nap, showered, and went back. But they wouldn't let me go down there. They were only letting, you know, people who were currently firefighters or police officers. It didn't matter where they came from. They were also letting military. But I didn't have any of those credentials, so I didn't get to go down and help. They didn't let any girls go, actually. I don't think there were any women that went down.
That's
but we would, when they would drive in, we would load up their, they would come in back of a truck, a pickup truck, whatever, and drive down in there, and we would load up buckets with flashlights and socks and masks and, you know, things like that, and bottles of water, and we would put them in these, you know, buckets and send it down and put a bunch of them in the back of the truck, and then they'd drive on down in there. And the Red Cross wasn't even there the first day. Like, they were trying to get organized, but, you know, I think it took a minute. And the first couple of days, literally, it was just volunteers like me. People just showed up and started doing stuff.
Wow. That's crazy, but in, I don't know, unforgettable memory there, and I don't even know how else to follow that, Jeffy. I mean, that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
I mean, what do? I mean, you just, the human instinct takes over, I guess, Marty, right? Like, you just, you know, people need help.
Like, yeah, but if you've been a police officer or any kind of public servant like that, it's just what you know how to do. You have a second sense or whatever, it just kicks in. You just, you know, you kind of shut off the part of yourself that might be afraid, and you think, I need to go help.
Wow.
But
oh, yeah.
I will say this, the funny part of the story is when my parents and their senior citizen bus got back to Alabama, they got a police escort all the way to their church from the city, from the city of Birmingham, city limits, all the way to their country church way out in the countryside. They got a police escort all the way out there.
Talk of the town, I bet.
The news. Yeah, because they've been on the news that they were there.
Wow.
So that was kind of funny.
How about that? Well, Marty, we love chatting with you always, and we never know what direction it's going to go in, and boy, did you drop some gems tonight. You didn't fail at all here. I promise you, that was...
Never.
We still didn't get to the drink donkey, but that's okay. We will another time.
Jeffy, drop them plugs for Marty one time for us before we get her out of here.
Absolutely. Listen, folks, get out there on your Facebook right now. Follow our good friend Marty Knows Parties. It's Marty with an I-E. Marty Duncan on Instagram. Of course, she's the author of Alabama Cravings and the host of All Recipes Podcast, Homemade. She's our good friend, and we love her. Marty Duncan, thank you.
Marty, you are the best.
Thanks,
we appreciate you.
Me.
Oh, my gosh. You're amazing.
Kidding?
Jeffy,
we're flattered to have you.
Me. I've enjoyed it. Listen, I can't think of anything that could be more fun than sitting here chatting with y'all about whatever comes up, you know, we've covered the gamut, but I just love that, you know, y'all are talking about everything. It's awesome.
Hell yeah. We talk about all of it. That's right. Marty, I'll text.
And I can't wait to go hear that NASA podcast. I'm so excited about that.
I'm going to send you a link for it so you have it once we get done with the show tonight. I'll look forward to chat with you soon.
Okay.
I'll send you a text. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you on down the road, okay?
All right, y'all. Be good. Be soon.
And there she goes, friends. Marty Duncan, give it up for her. There she is. Oh, man. Jeffy, I love talking to that woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, I'm a little bummed that it had to end.
Well, I kept looking at the clock. I'm like, all right, we can keep going.
I'm having so much fun. I just have so much fun with her. I could talk to her all night long. Man. We just telling stories back and forth and laughing and just having a blast, man. She's as real as it comes, right? Oh, there.
100%. You nailed that, man. I love talking to her. Make sure you follow her, check her out, see what she's doing, because she's always doing some crazy stuff. Jeffy, there's a couple of news stories I want to cover, and you know we're running a little bit late here. We're kind of getting close to the short porch, so we'll make it short and sweet, but a couple things I thought maybe you and I could talk about here. I know we don't have Dan tonight. He's on vacation, and Dave, I don't know where Dave's at. He might be buried in the sand somewhere. But a couple things I want to talk about, which I think were interesting. We call them news stories? I guess they're news stories, right? I don't have a news teaser dropper for me, but Taco Bell, Jeffy, is testing out their brand new... They're jumping into the... you know, monthly subscription box sort of situation. And Taco Bell is testing a new taco subscription program, Jeffy, with unlimited tacos for $5. And what happens is it's $5 or $10, depends on what part of the country they're doing it in. But basically what this means, you pay the subscription fee and you can go every day and get yourself a free taco. The choices you can get are the crunchy taco, the spicy potato soft taco, the Crunchy Supreme Taco, the Soft Supreme Taco, Doritos Locos Tacos, Doritos Locos Taco Supreme, and the Taco Supreme. So you get some choices there, which is interesting. But I think what I think is so smart about this. Listen, this is what's so smart about this. You get a free taco every day. Who goes to Taco Bell and buys one taco?
This guy, if I pay $5 a month, I will go eat one fucking Tacos Loco Dorito, like a Cool Ranch or a Fire, one a day, as like a gift to my body.
But you wouldn't go there and get your free taco and then like a Mexi Melt and like a Chicken Burrito Supreme at the same time?
Nah, man, I love my bowels too much to put that much of that shit into it.
Really?
Yeah, man, I'll eat one Tacos Loco Supreme with the sour cream. The sour cream is key in that taco, I feel like. Without the sour cream, it's like, it's not as good. It's not as substantial.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's just everybody's doing the subscription box, and there's just another example of it right there. And I think it's genius because, unlike you, Jeffy, I can't go to Taco Bell and get one thing.
Don't call it a subscription box. That's what you called it before. And when you call a Taco Bell subscription box, to me it sounds like I'm gonna get a box full of tacos in the mail, like once a month. They're gonna be like, "Hey, here's the taco of the year" or whatever, and you're gonna get like, you know.
All right.
It sounds creepy.
The
it
taco.
Gross.
All right, you can go get a free taco every day for $10 a month. So I think it's taco a fantastic deal.
Shit. So you're saying for like $5 a month, you can get 30 tacos essentially.
Yes. Yes.
That. Listen, you know what else I would do if I did this? Yeah, I'm going to do it in New York, and then I'm going to go out and give a free taco to a homeless dude every day. And if I don't want to eat the taco, I'm going to walk around and be like, "Hey, homie, what kind you want on me? Pick a taco, Holmes. Tell me any hard shell up there."
You are a
you know what I mean?
Champion of the people, Jeffy. That's what you are. Join the program now, the long-lost good brother, Chef Dave. Dave, hey, buddy.
Dave.
Yo.
Taco Bell, $5, $10 subscription. Are you in?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to subscribe right now if I could. I don't even, like, eat Taco Bell that much, but I love Taco Bell. It's one of those, like, once-in-a-while things. But if I have a $5 subscription, I'm like, I'm going to go get a taco right now.
All right. Yeah, I'm in, too. And I think it's pretty genius because I'm going to buy more stuff when I'm there. I'm going to get my free taco every day for sure. However, two or three of those days, I'm going to buy some extra shit to make it worthwhile to them.
Yeah, I feel like I might drink more, though, with the subscription.
Drink more Taco Bell?
It's like, no, drink more because of Taco Bell because it's like drunk food for me.
Oh, all right. I get that. Well, sounds like...
Play.
They're all genius.
Really, I would do it.
Well, sounds like Taco Bell's a genius because we're all going to do it, so count us in. According to foodbeast.com, Heinz has debuted a new piece of equipment that all culinarians and people who eat food on the go alike need to have, gentlemen. Yes, we all get those ketchup packets in our life, and you tear the corner and you squeeze some ketchup out of it, but you never quite get all of it. Well, never fear, friends. Heinz is now introducing the new ketchup packet roller. You insert your packet of ketchup, you turn the crank, and guess what? It squirts out all of the ketchup in the packet. You can get one of these today for $5.70. It also attaches to a keychain. Just visit HeinzPacketRoller.com and you can get one of these things right now and you can have it and be ready to go. They'll also be available at the Pittsburgh-based Primanti Brothers, iconic sandwich shop. They're available there as well. Jeffy, we've come up with vaccines for COVID. We can deliver babies anywhere now. Hell, we can even change the sex of the baby, but none of it stands the test of time quite like a ketchup packet roller. Can you believe this?
First of all, I'll never use this because I have man thumbs, is what I like to call them, big gorilla thumbs. And when I grab a packet of ketchup or mustard or mayonnaise or relish or horsey sauce, if you will, I will pull that bitch right through those man thumb gorilla big ass fat fingers I got.
And you take two fingers and make your own ketchup packet roller.
That's what I'm saying, right? And everybody's got fingers. I'm just saying, Heinz, I feel like I'm going to get tattooed on my two fingers sauce packet roller.
Dave, what about you? Is this going to be a stocking stuffer in the Dave Boredom family household this year?
No. Nah, I don't really fuck with ketchup too much, for one. But when I do, if I'm eating fries and I have the little packets, I have like a method. I'll bite the little corner and then just like put the packet in my mouth and then squeeze it out and then shove a bunch of fries in.
You suck it out and spit it on your fries like a bird?
Jesus, no, that's terrible.
I don't baby bird it.
God. It's the worst picture I've ever had in my life of Dave spitting ketchup on French fries and re-eating them. Fuck me. This is terrible. On a night we had Marty Duncan on. You can't do that, Jeffy.
I'm sorry. I just...
Jesus. That's awful. Nobody wants to see that.
Now. I'm going to do it in public.
He's one of my best friends.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody does. All right. Moving on. Two more to go here. I want to talk a little bit about one of the things that's happening in New York right now, taking the world by storm. Hot Ones and Hedonist partner with Milk and Cream on a limited release of, friends, you guessed it, ice cream nuggets. So they look like chicken nuggets, but they are ice cream. It says here that the ice cream nuggets will come in two flavors, friends. Vanilla ice cream dipped in white chocolate shell and dusted in cinnamon and cornflakes. And the other one that has a white chocolate shell is infused with Hot Ones chocolate pow pow and covered in flaming dust. Each serving comes with a side of Hot Ones nugget honey. Jeffy, these cost about 12 bucks a pack. I mean,
six nuggets, 12 bucks.
Are we making two nuggets out of everything these days?
Well, first of all, you could nugget anything, and I'll appreciate it, because I love nuggets. Second, I have a good friend. I guess I wouldn't really call him a good friend, but he's a friend. And he's on Instagram, and I saw that he posted it, so I asked him, hey, man, we're going to eat these. We're going to talk about them tonight. You know, I saw the article. What do you think? He says, it was weird, but good. The coating was the most interesting part. The ice cream was whatever.
Wow. Okay. Dave, I got a feeling you're in. You would do this.
I mean, I would try it, but it's not something I would be like, oh, I have to try it type of thing. Because like spicy and ice cream together, like ice cream might already mess my stomach up sometimes.
Oh, Jesus. Like, here we go. More Dave's ailments.
Here we go. Does it make your shoulders hurt?
Fuck you guys. I'm saying. Ice cream and spicy shit might be a bad combination the next day.
Yeah, I'll definitely Tums after it, but I'll eat them like a man, not complain.
Right. It'll still go to work, right, Jeffy?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to go to work, and then I'll just paint that toilet. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
You can timestamp that. Timestamp. Let's take that out. Timestamp that.
This show stinks. God, why do people listen to this? This is a terrible program. All right, and finally, friends, the one I want to save for the very, very end that just, I mean, is the... This news story is the epitome of 2021. Friends, I am not lying to you. When a former Trump advisor, Michael Flynn, is pushing a theory that COVID-19 vaccines are being added to salad dressings. Yes, friends, another old white guy is trying to tell us that they're going to put COVID vaccines into salad dressings. They're sneaking them in, mind you. And what I think is great is that Reuters thought it would be fun to add, there is no evidence that vaccines are being infused into salad dressings. And they said that his rant may have been in reference to an ongoing study on growing produce that could potentially contain vaccine material, but it is unclear. Yes, friends, there is a person who had a high up spot in our country who thinks that we are now putting vaccines in salad dressings. This, my friends, this is why we are where we are in this country. Jeffy, give me your 2 cents on this.
Well,
it's another old white guy just saying some stupid shit that someone's going to be like, well, he worked for Trump, so he knows.
Well, this is the problem with politicians, I think, you know, is like back in the day, it was like, oh, you know, we should have older people be politicians, right? And they're good because they just really drank whiskey and gin, and they were like a little pickled, but they weren't like really fucked up. You know what I mean? But nowadays, like we went through the 60s and the 70s, right? And now these motherfuckers are the politicians, and they're a little fucked up. They're a little fucked up. And they read a meme. And they don't know that it's like, you know, not like, you know, world news is like a, you know, the Inquirer or whatever. They think it's like, holy shit, you know, like aliens, you know, Bat Boy is talking to fucking vaccines and salads and Afghanistan's wall is coming and, you know, whatever, you know, it's like, it's sad, really, you know.
Vaccines and salad dressings, Jeffy.
Early signs of dementia. I just did a Danica log in memory of Dan not being here tonight. I just want to throw that out there for you guys.
Dave, vaccines in salad dressings. I mean, clearly you can't put this in like a creamy type dressing such as a Caesar or maybe a ranch. It's got to be in a vinaigrette.
See, I think, I don't know if it's a, what? Okay, I don't think it's a politician thing. I think it's just an old white guy thing.
Yeah.
I think when we're like 85, we're going to be saying crazy shit.
I say crazy shit now, but no one should fucking listen to me.
Hold on.
Well,
hold on. Are you saying that there's vaccines in the salad dressing?
No.
Yeah. I think
can
that's
you
what
get
he's
that?
Saying.
Like, but is that an option? Like because I had to get a shot.
Right.
I would have fucking loved a salad. I would have like...
Like, eat this salad and you'll get the Moderna vaccine.
Exactly. Like it would come in like a McDonald's salad shaker cup.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not going to taste good. You know that vaccine's going to be bitter as fuck.
Is it bitter or is it like, does it taste like bubble gum?
I mean, either one of like those flavors on a salad is...
Penicillin taste. But like mixed into Caesar dressing.
I just this is the world we live in now, and I cannot believe that this is a. What I love is that people feel the need to come on and refute this and say, no, we looked, that's not happening.
I want to know what chef had to pair the vaccine.
Okay, can you imagine this meeting? Hang on, it goes like this. Yeah, come in. Yeah. Oh, hey, yeah, how are you? Chef, we have a question for you. Yeah, give it to me. We want to try to get more people vaccinated, so we thought what we would do is put the vaccine in a salad dressing. And the first thing the chef looked at him and said was, you think all these motherfuckers are eating salads? Have you looked at them?
Exactly. You're better off putting it in mayonnaise and put it in adding.
Let me tell you something right now. If there was vaccine in mayonnaise, this would be awesome.
I'd be inoculated.
Put it in Dukes.
Okay.
Here's the thing. If you had to get the proper dosage, you would need to get your Heinz ketchup packet roller in order to get the actual amount out of the packet of mayo.
Or you could use your fingers like a gentleman.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This show stinks. I don't even know why we do it anymore. It's so terrible. I wish that that news story wasn't real, but it was real. Big shout out tonight to our friend Marty Duncan for joining us on the program. Always love seeing her, talking to her. Jeffy, it's always so fun, isn't it?
She's honestly one of my favorite people. And just her podcast is amazing. Everybody go back out there. If you haven't done it already, follow her. Marty Duncan on Instagram. Marty Knows Parties on Facebook. Get her book, Alabama Cravings. And go listen to her on her podcast, Homemade, on the allrecipes.com.
That's it. That's it. Dave, always a pleasure talking to you, buddy, and getting your take on salad dressing vaccines.
He's the best.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, there we go. There we go. I missed that.
What? Fuck. For Chef Dave. For Chef Dave. For Chef Plum. I'm so. Chef Plum. For Chef Jeff. You've been checking out Plum Love Foods Live. We are back live. We'll see you guys next week with a live episode. We look forward to seeing you guys then. Friends, remember, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's make sure we give it the time it deserves. Vaccines are in salad dressing.
Power of power, too sweet to be sour. I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.